this coming Wednesday, Falcon 9 is going to be launched from Launch Complex 39A by SpaceX. They're actually launching it for the country Qatar. And well, the SHAL is two communication satellites. And it's going to a geosynchronous orbit. The thing I found interesting about this particular flight, on that same satellite that's going to be put into orbit, it's going to be the first amateur radio payload to also fly to a geosynchronous orbit. ARRL has put out the frequencies that will be involved in the modes. And if you put in Google or the ARRL, SHAIL-2 satellite, and put in amateur radio to geosynchronous orbit, you would get the frequencies and modes that will be involved in that flight. So that's interesting. Let me drop it. Another progress, Soyuz vehicle will be going up also this month, the 16th or 17th, but anyway, in a few days, they will be docking also with the International Space Station. It'll be another test of the Soyuz spacecraft. They've had two previous flights already, one from Kourou, French Guiana, by Ariane Space. They just launched one, and then also by Russia in their Plesk launch facility. That's way north. That's way north of the normal launch complex that they use, which is normally Baikonur. And they needed to send a satellite up, and they used the Soyuz, and everything went fine. Booster rockets disconnected properly, all four at one time, and they fall into what they call the Korolev cross, and they worked fine. The reason for the failure last time, one of those boosters did not fold back properly, and it actually folded in, and when it fell in, it hit the core, and that triggered an automatic abort by the MS-10 Soyuz spacecraft, which the two people, one American and one Russian, got back safely. So that's pretty much it for all the future launches, and we'll be paying attention to them further as time goes on. Last week we talked about the peroxide thruster, how that system works, and I did find a website that had a picture of the Russian peroxide thrusters, and they're pretty large. You know, there's like 12 of these things attached to the descent module on the Russian vehicle, the Soyuz vehicle, when they make an entry into the atmosphere. And they're like 12 inches by 6 by 4, so they're 12 inches long by 6 inches wide, and the diameter of the nozzles are about 2 inches, so pretty large. They put out around 30 pounds of thrust. They gave it a new, so I converted it, and it's roughly around 30 pounds of thrust each. So it's enough to reorient the spacecraft, where they could either have a controlled reentry, which cuts back on the G's. They kind of skip along the atmosphere, you know, up very high, and they can control that with these thrusters. Or in the case of the abort that they had last time, where they made a ballistic entry, thrusters set the vehicle into a spinning motion, so it would rotate all the way, you know, as it comes into the atmosphere. So these things apparently fly the way Dr. Roy was talking about. Take the hydrogen peroxide and put it into a tank and have it and push it, let it go through a little screen made of, in this case, silver acts as a catalyst when it hits that, it just automatically separates the hydrogen and peroxide. They don't ignite. But they do create pressure. And I think it's in the 90 percentile range. The other 10% is water. Where when you buy it, let's say in Walgreens, peroxide is roughly around 4%, and the rest is water. And then I did find a YouTube demonstration of this, and they had plastic bottles sitting on the table, and the teacher took the peroxide, and he had 30%, so way less than what would be on board the spacecraft. And he put it into the bottle, and he added catalyst. He didn't use silver. He used another substance, I think some kind of magnesium type of salt, product, little granules and stuff. You put it in, and you should see the stuff shoot out of the plastic bottle. And that was pretty cool. And that was only 30% concentration. And the interesting thing about the catalyst stays in his knee. He had a bottle. Another YouTube had a test tube, and you could see the whatever they used for the catalyst stayed in the bottom of the test tube. So you're able to add more peroxide later on, and it does the same thing. The catalyst is reusable. It just keeps going around and around, and you don't use up the catalyst. I thought it was pretty good chemistry lesson, though, to see this work. And they compared it to the catalytic converter that's on your car. So that's got platinum in it, which is catalyst for the catalytic converter. Well, you don't go out and get new ones. So, yeah, maybe after 10, 20 years, they start to clog up. You might have to get another one. But I think it's platinum, I'm pronouncing that wrong, is the metal that they use in the catalyst in the car. So, there we go. That's the story on that. InSight will be landing in November 26th, so that'll be the first Monday after Thanksgiving. That's to come down and land on the Martian surface, hopefully. They have landing sites set, and it should take about a month or so for InSight to make all these moves of putting the seismometer down on the surface and putting the heat transport flow drilling mechanism onto the surface. They're going to take their time. And like I said, it was about a month or two before they actually get any real testing out of it. We'll be waiting for the 7 minutes of terror, as NASA likes to call it. Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Pasadena, California, will be handling the landing. They have this 850-pound vehicle that's got to try to get down to the surface of Mars. It's going to separate from the cruise stage, about 70 miles high. It's going to reorient itself until the shield is facing forward, coming in at 13,000 miles an hour. Should heat up to over 1,000 degrees. Steel melts around 1,300, so the shield has to do its job. And then they're going to have this supersonic parachute deployed around 40, 50 feet in diameter and around 1,000 miles per hour. Half a dozen pyrotechnics will go off, separating the heat shield from the InSight. Three landing legs also have pyrotechnics. Devices which will, when they explode, they're all spring loaded. The three landing legs will pop out. No wheels on it. This isn't going anywhere. It's not a rover. And then radar immediately comes on. Radar will look at the ground. Side will then separate it from the back shell and the parachute. And it'll be free flying. Got 12 thrusters that'll come on. Combination with the radar, it should come to a landing, and then hopefully the thrust is shut off at the right time. So I know what I'll be doing if you're, if anybody's off on Monday, some people have 4-day weekends out of Thanksgiving. They'll be able to see the game off or record one or the other, and hopefully they'll have this on TV. I would imagine it's a big enough event for to carry it. And that's pretty much it. The Omega rocket is starting to come around. Omega is going to be another large rocket that will be competing with the Falcon 9 Heavy, and will be competing with the new Glenn being built by Jeff Bezos' company, Blue Origin. This is called the Omega rocket, will be built by Northrop Grumman. And they'll be out at one of the old launch complexes for the shuttle. The shuttle had two launch complexes, 39A and 39B. This one will be going to 39B probably within a couple of years. My guess is 2021 will probably be the first launch of the Omega rocket. That's pretty much it. Anybody have any questions or comments for this part of the TechNet call? The SpaceNet report.
Oh boy, I want an HD. I'll be right back.
You're on an HD, but you're making it if you want to try it.
Yeah, Roger. Thanks for that. KU2PTF. Yeah, I was just saying, so Amazon is going on slash.
Started off good in the beginning, but then we lost you. So, yeah, you can get a better spot, move the antenna around, switch over to another rig. We'll be here for another, I guess, 25 minutes. And we'll give it another try. I barely got your call out. In fact, I missed the call. All right, you want to try it again? And if not, we'll have to do something different.
Yeah, hanging out the window now. Yeah, KD2PPF. I'm just wondering, so that's going to be like an Amazon rocket. I shouldn't say that. It's a subsidiary company, but basically it's going to be Amazon, which is good with me. You know, it takes a lot of money to launch something into space.
Very good, and you did good on that one. KD2PPF, I have Papa. Foxtrot. Do I have that right? And I don't have the name yet. Go ahead.
Hey, Roger. Yeah, the name's Matt. Yeah, I'm very interested. I love the space. I've seen a lot of things in the sky. So, you know, it's always good. And I love your space report. So, back to that. KD2PPF. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Very good, Matt. And, Jeff Bezos, of course, you know, is, I can tell you know, owns Amazon, but he's been involved with the space program for quite a while. Now, the Omega is not going to be his rocket. The Omega is Northrop Grumman. The rocket that Jeff Bezos is sending up is called the New Glenn. That will be the orbital rocket. The name of his company is Blue Origin. So if you look up Blue Origin and everything about rockets, that's Jeff Bezos, and he's been at it for quite a while. He started and still active with the New Shepard. He calls it New Shepard. He names it because that was Alan Shepard. He named it after the first guy that went up into space, and when he first went up into space, Alan Shepard went suborbital. So the New Shepard is designed to be suborbital, not orbital. But he plans on putting people on it probably next year on the New Shepard vehicle. He plans on putting six passengers on board. He's launched it many times successfully out in the desert in Texas, in West Texas. It launches straight up. He uses a BE-3 rocket motor that he built. It's a liquid oxygen motor, and takes off, gets to to the common line. The common line is what we consider beginning of space. It's 100 miles, 100 kilometers high, or 60 miles high. And it gets as far as that height, and then, you know, it separates, the crew capsule separates from the booster, and the capsule comes down with the six people on board with three parachutes, and that's going to land in the Texas desert. The booster comes down and lands pretty close to where it took off. I mean, vertically it comes down and lands just perfect. He's done this time and time again. I think he's done it five times in a row with the New Shepard without a crew. And I believe he's done it already twice with the New Shepard, new iteration. And then I believe he's got another one that he's finishing up. They all look the same, but naturally there's differences. That will be probably coming out this year, or, you know, January, February, that time frame. And his ultimate goal, he's building this massive rocket. It's almost, I mean, if you were to look at it compared to the Saturn V, it's almost as big as the Saturn V. That's being built in Florida. And that one's called the New Glenn. Naturally, he named it after John Glenn, because John Glenn was the first guy in America that made it to orbit. So, because this is going to be an orbital vehicle, he gave it that name. So, that has not flown yet. He's building it down in a place called Exploration Park down in Florida. And he's taken over one of the launch complexes that NASA used to use, called Launch Complex 36. And once that's all changed, rearranged, rocket is built. He's already got the building completely built in Florida. He'll be able to bring New Glenn out to the launch complex. When it's done, that will have liquid methane for a propellant and liquid oxygen. And after, you know, launching and putting its cargo into space, the first stage will come back and land on a drone ship, similar to what SpaceX is doing. They've been landing their boosters on drone ships. He's going to do the same thing, except it's going to be a bigger drone ship. And that's his plan. And then once he does that, you know, maybe half a dozen times or so, he'll be able to use the New Glenn to develop a manned spacecraft. Eventually, he has plans on sending people to orbit as well. That's a long way down the road. He really wants to use this for the satellites, heavy-duty satellites to orbit, or even sending something off to the moon if he has to. That's the story with Jeff Bezos. Very good, Matt. Glad you knew about him and Amazon. Any other questions or comments?
And to Wheel, I'd like to know, is Alan Shepard still alive? It's going back many years, Paul.
Alan Shepard died a few years back, so, unfortunately. Most of them are gone now, you know? So, I mean, John Glenn's gone. He was senator of Ohio all those years. And then one day he got the nerves and the approval by NASA to get on the shuttle at 70, I think he was 76 years old, and blasted him into space. That was really something back in the late 90s. So that's the story on that, Rich.
Okay, Paul, and to you. You know, when I was a kid in grammar school, every time there was a launch, especially Alan Shepard, they brought a television set into the auditorium, and we were all in awe. I remember Shepard's launch was scrubbed a number of times.
Yeah, you're right. I remember that as well. Except we didn't go to the auditorium. They put us in the hallway and put a TV, black and white TV had back then, all the way down the end of the hallway, and you practically needed binoculars to see it. But like I was saying before, he did the suborbital flight, and as time went on, they grounded him. He had a, they call it Meniere's, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Meniere's syndrome, Roy would know, and it threw off his balance, and eventually he went for some operation in California, and he was able to fix this problem as the years went on. During this time frame, he became head of the astronaut corps, and he was, you know, he would tell, you know, which guy is going to go on what flight, and eventually, when he got the operation, he approved himself for a flight, and he went off on Apollo 14 and actually walked on the moon. Back to you, Richard.
And all these guys were pioneers in their own time. I remember Alan Shepard, when they interviewed him right after the suborbital launch, he said that something about the seat where he was sitting was not right, and it changed. You remember that?
Yeah, originally they didn't want to listen to the astronauts. Oh, this is the way it is, and that's the way that's going to be. And he was instrumental in doing that, and got his way. Deke Slayton was, at the time, head of the astronauts before Alan Shepard's first flight. And they more or less had, you know, they stood together. They said, you know, we want a window here. There was no window. Well, the first, actually, two flights didn't have a window, but by the time they went with Glenn, they did have a window. They had certain demands, and they won because they stuck together. Any other comments, questions by anybody else? This is WS2N.
Yeah, Paul, I've got a question with reference to hydrogen peroxide. Maybe Roy can help us on this one. Is that really a H2O2 molecule? I mean, H2O is a very stable molecule. How do they make H2O2? Or is the oxygen just freely floating in that fluid, sort of like the way oxygen is added to fresh water, and the gills of a freshwater fish can extract that oxygen from the water? So I wonder how they make that. Over to you or to Roy, K2LIW.
Well, okay. Like I said, there was two bottles that I've seen so far. The bottle that you would buy in CVS, you know, a regular brown bottle. And the reason it's black brown is because I think UV rays or light itself would eventually start to degrade the peroxide. It would start separating the bottle itself. So that's why it's dark. And then the one I saw on the YouTube where they were using for demonstrations had 30%. 30% peroxide compared to water, and that bottle had—it was like a flex bottle. I mean, it looked like a regular peroxide bottle, but it was flex. It would expand and contract because that's what would happen inside the bottle when it started to break down. But molecularly, I don't know. I'd have to go over to Roy for that. AC2GSWS1. And by the way, did I have that right? Meniere's disease, some kind of ear problem where it throws off your balance?
Yes, Paul, it's called Meniere's disease. You pronounced it beautifully. I guess it should have a French accent. It's named after a French guy. It's probably related to some kind of fluid backup. They do drainage procedures. It leads to primarily dizziness. It can lead to tinnitus, buzzing in the ears, diminished hearing, and a kind of sense of fullness in the ears. So that's Meniere's. Hydrogen peroxide usually is manufactured by putting hydrogen gas and oxygen gas under pressure together using yet another catalyst to speed the reaction. And yes, it's H2O2. It's not H2O and the oxygen just hanging out on the side. And that's what makes it very exothermic. It's not a very stable chemical. It does, though, have a little bit of energy of activation that it has to jump over to decompose to water and oxygen gas, and that's what catalysts do. they kind of get the molecule across the speed bump of the energy of activation. And catalyst, one of the main concepts of a catalyst is it's unchanged. At the end of the reaction, you're left with the exact same catalyst you started with.
Okay, very good. Dick, does that answer the question? It's definitely a mono propellant. Of course, we talked about that last week. That's what we're really talking about. Dick, over to you.
Okay, that's enough of an answer for tonight. I thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, very good. In the future, I was going to be talking about the Europa Clipper, eventually planned on launching from Cape Canaveral and going off to the moon of Jupiter, Europa. And this mission is planned and ready to go, and they also had a landing vehicle planned to go with us because they wound up with extra money. Now, when I say they, I mean NASA. They thought they were going to have like a $19 billion budget. They wound up with an extra billion or billion and a half. But the guy that approved it is from the House of Representatives, John Culberson. He was the charge of that committee, and he was one of the Republicans that got defeated from Texas. Now they're going to have this other person probably in charge of the science committee. And that person, from what I understand, is not crazy about having the lander for some reason. So I'm not sure. So I might have to, you know, go back a lot of nets when I first brought this up, and that might be canceled. Maybe, maybe not. Lots going to happen between now and then. You know, when everything's... Your voices don't talk about politics. This is not politics. This is just the fact that NASA might have less money and therefore possibly cut a mission or two. Or maybe put money to a different mission as well. That could be a possibility, too. Maybe they'll just leave the budget the way it is.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
I timed out. I said, any other comments or questions? Okay, another rocket that's going to be eventually developed is by Stratolaunch. Stratolaunch is the company that's built by Paul Allen. Paul Allen is famous because he started off with Microsoft and became a billionaire, died recently, but in the last 10-15 years he's been heavily involved with the space program, developing the Stratolaunch vehicle. Stratolaunch vehicle is as big as a football field. Actually, the wings are longer than a football field. They go into the end zone. It's a carrier plane, and he plans on carrying these rockets up. For whoever makes the rockets, he'll bring them up with a carrier plane. That wasn't good enough. He's actually also developing his own rocket with its own rocket engine. And he just tested the pre-burner. They call it the pre-burner. And then the main burner. He hasn't done the main burner yet, but the pre-burner, make sure that works. It's a liquid hydrogen, liquid oxygen rocket that's going to be carried by this massive airplane as big as a football field, up to 35,000-40,000 feet, and eventually drop these rockets and send them into space. They'll be able to carry a lot more than the 500, say, pounds that the Electron rocket can carry. He will be able to do that as well. Sometimes they'll send 10, 20 different CubeSats off of one launch. But because this engine is going to be so powerful, it's going to be like 400,000 pounds of thrust, some large engine, he'll be able to probably get, you know, 10, 20, and even 30,000 pound payloads up to orbit, or send things to a geosynchronous orbit with the rocket he's developing. The rocket's going to be called the PGA for Paul G, I guess his middle name, and A for Alan, the PGA engine rocket. That's pretty good. He just died recently, but he left it his legacy to have this company keep on going. And you know, him and Bill Gates were like billionaires with Microsoft, and when he went away from that, he took on this project. So he also took on the Paul Allen Array, also in California. And then Paul Allen Array is a bunch of antennas that got set up. He's looking to contact Little Green Men. I think he let a college or something take over doing that now. I think he got away from that. He's a big space advocate. And then we're running out of time, but this will take a while. SpaceX plans on building a second stage for the Falcon 9 that's a duplicate of the BFR, the big Falcon rocket that he plans on building that will eventually go to the moon and Mars. His rocket right now is really reusable. The whole first stage comes back and lands either on land or on a drone. Or and on top of that, he has the spacecraft itself. The Dragon spacecraft is reusable. It's gone up to the space station many times. He's also making the fairings, pieces that separate. He plans on eventually reusing them. He built a boat with massive net that he plans on catching these things as they come down on parachutes. But one of the things he wanted to do, and he needs to do, is to develop the BFR, the big Falcon rocket, will be to actually recover a second stage. So he just wants to be able to see how this thing works with the control systems and everything. He's building a smaller version of it, and he's making it the second stage of a Falcon 9 rocket. He wants to blast it into orbit, and he wants to see how it goes. He won't have a heat shield on it or anything, but maybe in the future, and be able to someday bring it down through the atmosphere and land vertically. He's got these three tails at the bottom sticking out, and at the end of each tail is going to be a landing leg. And it looks like something out of Buck Rogers in 1950 black and white TV shows we used to watch. Really cool. Any other comments or questions? Well, that's it for the space portion of the net. We have a few minutes left. I don't know if you want to say anything, Dick or Roy. I've gone through my whole list, and we'll have another whole list probably next week for the SpaceNet report. Dick, over to you, K2RIW, WS2N.
Let's see if anyone has any questions for any of the above. Give us your call letters and name right now if you do. There being none, I guess we'll stop right here. This was TechNet number 1722. That was Space Report number 322. And that was Science Talk number 51. We'll be back next week. 73 you all. Bye-bye for now. K2LIW clear.
Dick, one last thing. We're all very happy and lucky to have Eric, because he does a good job. There's no cost. Remember, if we didn't have Eric, we'd have to hire a commercial shop with a contract. So I think when Eric can't get to something right away, we should all be very, very patient.
I agree with that, Rich. A lot of equipment being maintained there all by one person and his huge staff that supports him. That's a joke.
I know. He does a yeoman's job.
Net tonight at 8:30 WQVL repeater system. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the WQVL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system. At 8:30, W2VL repeater system. Tonight at 8:30, welcome to the W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system. Morning. The time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system. Thank you. tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
To MB, K6DPC. Barry, are you out there?
K6DPC.
Go back in your rat hole.
Why don't you bend over like the terminal's out?
I'm tired of you kissing my ass in Macy's window, okay? Go to hell.
Why don't you go lay down in the coffin and we'll set it on fire.
Mother's calling you back to bed. K6DPC clear.
Come on in. You got K2QOG here. Anybody out there?
K2QOG, K6DPZ. You're loud and clear, sir.
Thank you, thank you. I'm on sitting right by the Long Island Expressway.
You're doing good in the box, running in the way of power.
Can you repeat that, please?
What are you running in the way of power?
I have an ICOM 5100 mobile.
That's about 50 watts. You're doing okay. How are we getting there? We're running about 1 watt.
Heading north. I'm by Northern Boulevard. I'm in a Jeep.
Are you hearing us okay with 1 watt? Are we getting over the interference with 1 watt? Over.
10-4. Is there a way to increase that? I wouldn't know.
Somebody is deliberately interfering. I can't keep it up with you, sir. Handle it down. Take my call. We're going to go QRT until this garbage gets off the frequency.
10-4.
Go ahead, garbage. You got it. All yours, garbage. You got mobile flutter. It's all you have time to do is interfere with people, you jerk.
Yeah, he keeps coming through to me, too.
Yeah, we got a lot of jerks on this repeater. You know, it's very sad. Ham radio's degenerated to a bunch of jerks.
Hey, a lot of them probably come over from CB.
Oh, definitely, definitely. How long have you been licensed?
About a year. I'm an extra, but I'm only on the air about a month, month and a half.
Oh, what is your QTH?
Say that again, please.
What is your QTH?
What is that? I'm not sure.
Where are you based out of?
Oh, I live in Valley Stream, and I go to Great South Bay Radio Club in Lindenhurst.
They're a nice group. I know a few of the members of Great South Bay. Yeah, we're over here in Richmond Hill. We're running a lot of power into a skyhook antenna up about 40 feet.
Like I say, I'm learning. This is my first radio. I don't have a base station. I'm just running mobile right now. And like I say, I'm still learning a lot of the equipment and stuff.
Can you swing over to 5-2 Simplex?
I could try.
Okay, I'll meet you there, sir. This is K6DPZ, QSY, 146-520, Simplex. I was talking to her. I told her to go to 5-2. I can't hear you. Did you come back to the repeater?
Well, if you're on 5-2, you're not going to hear you here, you dumbass.
Station, you want to try it again? This K6 Delta Pop is over. Not you, jerk.
be on his repeater anymore.
Listen, you punch. I'm going to go on this repeater. I'll go on it, okay? You don't have to tell me what to do. I've been here for 60 years. Never gotten a pink ticket. So take your license and jab it up your ass.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, what are your calls, punch? What are your calls? You're afraid to give your calls. You're big behind the microphone, aren't you, you asshole?
It's, Shield 6, Dirty Impalpable Zombies,
You can go back in the room bedroom with your mother. J6DB is clear.
Good riddance to bad rubbish,
You're as bad rubbish as I am, asshole.
So hostile. You need to lead. Get some cheese with Mendel and,
What about Mendel, asshole?
I don't know about Mendel's asshole. I think you do.
Oh, we didn't waste our time talking. You're a real asshole. Okay, 60 PC clear. I told you once before, the best part of you jipped out your dad's pant leg.
The best part of you was screamed off the wall of the whorehouse.
You know, I love to tickle you. You know that? I think it's the greatest thing to come back and give you a hard time checking on my verbal ability to tear somebody apart.
Oh, you're quite a kind linguist.
That piss is. I'm also quite a writer. Okay? If you don't know who the fuck you're screwing with.
Actually, I do.
Well, you don't, asshole.
Oh, big man on the microphone. Oh.
Oh, you're the big man on the microphone. I got call letters, you son of a bitch. I give you your calls, you son of a bitch.
You
You don't even have the brass balls to give you calls.
Hey, your opponent didn't know it. Call the balls. Mole the trolls, mole the trolls.
What the hell? Casey, Steve, Casey.
You are clear.
Give it up, you may be found off the Long Beach Pier. Casey, Sparky.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Thank you.
tonight at 8:30 WQVL repeater system. Tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the WQVL repeater. WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
get the call, but this is Sam.
KD2NWG, listening.
Yeah, good morning back to you. Sam and Baldwin, KD2NSJ. Sorry, I'm having a problem on this side. KD2NSJ, we're standing by.
WQVL repeater system.
Yeah.